Alô?
Who's talking in here?
Kathy was talking.
Thank you. Shoot. They do.
Jeanette, at least turn off the share screen.
Uh-huh.
And put on mute.
I'll see what I can do. Share screen.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. This is, to say the least, unusual, but I'm very thankful that we do live in an age where we have the kind of technology that we can have services like this and be in touch with each other and be with each other in a safe way. Before we begin tonight, I just want to go over a few basic instructions to try to help our service run as smoothly as possible. You should have two settings on your device, gallery or speaker. If you have speaker on, whoever is speaking during the service, their face will take up most of the screen and you'll see bits of other people around them. If you're on gallery, then you have everyone in a little box, and whoever is speaking, their screen will just have, it will light up on the periphery. I can see from the computer screen in front of me that the screen that I am now is lit up in yellow around the edges. So it's your preference, whichever one you like. You choose that for yourself. It is important that you know how to mute and unmute. We want you to stay on mute. So if there are background noises or someone comes into the room and there's conversation, it's not distracting to everyone else. Everyone who is participating in the service tonight should have a copy of the order of service in front of them or nearby, so you know what's happening and when. For scripture readers, for example, not Carol, but starting with Marg, there are 9 different scripture readers. When Marg starts to read, I'd like the other 8 people to unmute, and then as soon as your part is finished, mute once again. Watch, I will introduce the order of service that will be a cue to you that your part is coming up. So be ready to unmute. There's a little bit of a lag time, and then participate as is your turn. There are a couple of songs that Morgan is singing for us. We're going to ask you to stay muted during the singing. Feel free to sing at home to your heart's content. But again, we'll just be listening to Morgan sing. So stay muted during that. And then one final announcement for Easter Sunday morning, late decision today, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. Again, it's very odd to do it when we're not physically together. So I encourage you to have ready for yourself juice or wine or water, and then bread or a cracker or a roll, something that will, for you, symbolize the body of Christ, and we'll participate together even though we are apart. There will be another information sheet coming out to you from Jennifer prior to Easter Sunday morning. But we don't want you to have to leave the house to get something for communion, so please just use whatever you already have at home for that. Okay, we're going to try to have this service remembering, even in this awkwardness, what tonight is all about, why it's important to gather, what this night meant and means in the life of the church and in our own lives personally, that Jesus Christ died for us, that he sacrificed everything for us. My hope is that the readings, the scriptures, the prayers will all help us, even in our unique and maybe distracting circumstances, to remember the power of this night. Come, let us gather again in the shadow of the cross of Christ. We gather to remember the overwhelming evidence of love's ultimate sacrifice. Who would have guessed that the height and depth, the length and the width of God's love might look like this? A forsaken Savior on a cross. Certainly not us. Not us. We are too often lost amid the world's distractions and responsibilities. Not us, for whom such love was offered without cost. So let us gather again in the shadow of the cross of Christ, and let us commit ourselves to remember the price that he paid for you and for me. Let us live our lives in a way that indicates why this Friday is called good. Thanks be to God who opened the gates of heaven that we might have the faith, the hope, and the love witnessed in Christ's sacrifice for our salvation. I'm going to invite Carol to read a scripture from the book of Isaiah.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hid their faces, he was despised and was held, and we held him in no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth.
Thank you, Carol. I'm now going to invite Stuart and Debbie to share with us a dramatic reading, and that will be followed by Morgan singing, O Come and Mourn.
They went out and followed him, those who had sat with him at the table. He led them to a garden where he prayed while they slept.
He was kissed, and because he was kissed, he was arrested. And when he was arrested, his friends fled, some to go into hiding, one to stand beside a bonfire and say, I never knew him. I never knew him. I never knew him. And a cock crowed.
He was brought before the religious authorities and accused of the sin of blasphemy and of threatening insurrection. Having no power to deal with him, they handed him over to the state governor, who listened to the accusations and then asked the accused, what have you to say? What have you to say? What have you to say? To which the response was silence.
He had said it all. He was not found to be guilty of any criminal charges, but because he was an embarrassment, it was decided that his own people should determine his fate. This they did by shouting,
crucify him!
Crucify him!
Crucify him! Crucify him! He was cursed and spat on, whipped and humiliated, and on his shoulder a gift was placed. When he accepted with grace, which he accepted with grace, this gift. Under the weight of this gift, he stumbled and fell all the way to Calvary.
On top of a garbage dump, he was nailed to a cross of wood and left to die. While soldiers gambled, critics joked. Religious leaders smiled with satisfaction, and his mother watched and waited
until in the end
she saw a sign of the beginning.
What we're trying to do tonight is to tell the story from a number of different perspectives. You heard Carol's first scripture from the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament, and it's one perspective on a portion of the story. Morgan's song gives another one. And now we're going to hear scriptures in order that again, tell what is a familiar story, but my hope in putting the service together like this tonight is that you will hear or see something new or something old from a different perspective that enlivens your spirit and touches your heart and helps you just a little bit more or in a different way understand God's sacrificial love for each one of you. So now I'd like Marg and all of the scripture readers following her to unmute, and we'll go through the scripture passages.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over.
While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
I'm sorry, I'll start again. Then the two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way.
From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last.
At that moment, the curtain of the temple was bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee.
When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away.
When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn from the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door. Oh, I'm sorry, I just read the wrong one. I'll start that part again, sorry. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite to the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that what the impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can."
This is a reading titled, "Savior of the World." Savior of the world, what have you done to deserve this? And what have we done to deserve you? Strung up between criminals, cursed and spat upon, you wait for death and look for us whose sin has crucified you. To the mystery of undeserved suffering, you bring the deeper mystery of unmerited love. Forgive us for not knowing what we have done. Open our eyes to what we are doing now, as through wood and nails, you disempower our depravity, and transform us by your grace. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for those readings. Everyone should make sure that you're muted again. Thank you. We're going to add something to the order of service here. Those of you who have one, this is an addition, and it's a prayer of adoration and confession and an assurance of pardon. So I invite you just to join me in prayer. Let us pray. We come to the foot of your cross and we bow with the disciples. We ponder the mystery of your life and death with Mary, and we proclaim the truth of who you are with those who witnessed your love in action. We come to you this day because you first came to us. We come loving you because you first loved us. We come to serve you because you first served us. We come to worship you as the Creator, Christ and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and always. You're a loving God. You sent Christ into the world that we might have life and have it abundantly. Yet we live lives that are often deadly, certainly less than you would have them be. We allow your world to be filled with violence and terror. Lord, our trust in you is shallow and our faithfulness falters. In the face of uncertainty and trouble, we forget your loving kindness governs all things. Forgive who we have been. Amend who we are and direct who we shall be through Christ our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ was betrayed and abandoned, yet from the cross he asked God to forgive us. Know that no matter what you have been or what you are now, forgiveness is offered to you this day in Jesus Christ. Accept this forgiveness and share it with others for his sake. Amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh.
It was on the Friday that they ended it all.
Of course, they didn't do it one by one. They weren't brave enough. All the stones at the one time, or no stones thrown at all. They did it in crowds. In crowds where you can feel safe and lose yourself and shout things you would never shout on your own and do things you would never do if you were left, if you felt that the camera was watching you. It was a crowd in a church that did it, and a crowd in the civil service that did it, and a crowd in the street that did it, and a crowd on a hill that did it.
And he said nothing.
He took the insults. The bruises, the spit on the face, the thongs on the back, the curses in his ears. He took the sight of his friends turning away, running away.
But he said nothing.
He let them do their worst until the worst was done. As on Friday, they ended it all and would have finished themselves had he not cried, "Father, forgive them."
Then began the revolution.
I'm going to ask everyone now to unmute. So you need to be quiet, but just push your unmute button, please. We're going to have a prayer. We're going to have a prayer, and when I say, "Lord, in your mercy," you respond with, "Hear our prayer." So there are a number of verses, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. If there's noise in the background from other people, then just stay muted. But let's try this together. O God of peace within our lives and relationships, in our communities and this world, we face conflict and antagonism. Today we pray for all places where violence and cruelty seem to win the day. For countries where war cuts down people, and for relationships marked by cruelty, loving God, give us peace in your time. Lord,
hear our prayer.
Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
O God of hope, whenever the world is confusing and bleak, you pierce the darkness with hope and renewed vision. We give you thanks, Lord, for lessons learned, for hearts that are changed, for new discoveries made and hope restored. As we mark Jesus' death this day, we pray for those who are ill and dying, for those who are bereaved or feel any burden of loss. Renew our trust in your resurrecting love. We give you thanks for those who have died and abide with you. Keep us united with them and bring us to you at the last. Loving God, give us hope in our time. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Spirit of God, we pray for the Church of Christ here and throughout the world, united in witness and service. Where it is in error or in the thrall of idolatry or cruelty, restore its vigor and its grace. Nurture our calling to unique ministries wherever we serve. Loving God, give us courage in our time. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Creator of joy, we thank you for our moment of joy and celebration. for pleasure given and received, for times of quiet reflection. We remember before you those who feel lonely or bitter. We remember those who must walk through dark valleys. Be their light, be their warmth. Melt our hearts to love anyone in difficulty more deeply. Loving God, give us joy in our time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O love from heaven to earth come down, you call us to live in communion with you and in communion with one another. We remember before you our families, whether we are close or estranged. We remember our friends, whether nearby or far away. Bless all of the relationships that sustain us and bring your love close by. Loving God, give us love in our time. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us when we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth
as it is in heaven.
Give us this
day our daily bread,
and forgive us our debts
as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into
temptation.
Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power,
and the glory
forever. Amen. Please mute again. By his stripes we are healed. By his wounds we are made whole. Go this night in the name of Jesus Christ and live in the salvation made possible by the goodness of this Friday. Amen.